There's an old expression for when you do something completely crazy. Shooting the moon, it's called. This was me raising my rifle. "The Khonsu," I said. Blam. There went my shot at a very far away moon. But it was a shot I had to take. The Oban were obsessed with the Khonsu, for perfectly excellent reasons. How could you not be obsessed with the creatures that gave you intelligence and then ignored you for the rest of eternity? The Khonsu had spoken to the Oban only once since they gave them consciousness, and that conversation came at the high cost of half of all Oban everywhere. I remembered that cost. I planned to use it to my advantage now.
"The Khonsu do not speak to us," Doc said.
"Make them," I said.
"We do not know how," Doc said.
"Find a way," I said. I know how the Oban feel about the Khonsu, Counselor. I've studied them. I've studied you. Hickory and Dickory made a story about them. Oban's first creation myth, except it's true. I know how you got them to speak to you, and I know you've tried to get them to speak to you again since then. Tell me it's not true.
"It's true," Doc said.
"I'm willing to guess you're still working on it even now," I said.
"We are," Doc said. "We have been."
"Now is the time to make that happen," I said.
"There is no guarantee that the Khonsu would help you, even if we convinced them to speak to us and hear our plea on your behalf," Doc said. "The Khonsu are unknowable."
"I understand that," I said. "It's worth a try anyway."
"Even if what you ask were possible, it would come at a high cost," Doc said. "If you knew what it cost us the last time we spoke to the Khonsu."
"I know exactly how much it cost," I said. "Hickory told me, and I know the Oban are used to paying for what they get. Let me ask you, Counselor, what did you get from my biological father? What did you get from Charles Booten?"
"He gave us consciousness," Doc said, "as you well know, but it came at a price. Your father asked for a war."
"Which you never gave him," I said. "My father died before you could pay up. You got his gift for free."
"The Colonial Union asked for a price to finish his work," Doc said.
"That's between you and the Colonial Union," I said. "It doesn't take anything away from what my father did, or the fact you never paid for it. I am his daughter. I am his heir. The fact you are here says that the Oban gave me the honor they would give him. I could say to you that you owe me what you owe him, a war, at least."
"I cannot say that we owe you what we owed your father," Doc said.
"Then what do you owe me?" I asked. "What do you owe me for what I've done for you? What is your name?"
"My name is Doc," it said.
"A name you have because one day I named those two Hickory and Dickory," I said, pointing at my two friends. "It's only the most obvious example of what you have through me. My father gave you consciousness, but you didn't know what to do with it, did you? None of you did. All of you learned what to do with your consciousness by watching me grow into mine as a child and now as who I am today. Counselor, how many Oban have watched my life, seen how I did things, learned from me?"
"All of them," Doc said. "We have all learned from you, Zoe."
"What does it cost the Oban?" I asked. "From the time Hickory and Dickory came to live with me until the moment I stepped onto this ship, what has it cost you? What have I ever asked of any Oban?"
"You have not asked for anything," Doc said.
I nodded. "So let's review. The Khonsu gave you intelligence, and it cost you half of all the Oban when you came to ask them why they did it. My father gave you consciousness, and the price for it was a war, a price which you would have willingly paid had he lived. I have given you 10 years of lessons on how to be conscious, on how to live. The bill for that has come due, Counselor. What price do I require? Do I require the lives of half the Oban in the universe? No. Do I require the Oban to commit a war against an entire other race? No. I require only your help to save my family and friends. I don't even require that the Oban do it themselves, only that they find a way to have someone else do it for them. Counselor, given the Oban's history of what it's received and what it has cost, what I am requiring of the Oban now comes very cheap indeed. Doc stared at me, silently. I stared back, mostly because I had forgotten to blink through all of that, and I was afraid if I tried to blink now, I might scream. I think it was making me look unnervingly calm. I could live with that.
"We were to send a skip drone when you arrived," Doc said. "It has not been sent yet. I will let the rest of the Oban Council know of your requirement. I will tell them I support you."
"Thank you, Counselor," I said.
"It may take some time to decide on a course of action," Doc said.
"You don't have time," I said. "I'm going to see General Gaw, and I'm going to deliver my dad's message to him. The Oban Council has until I am done speaking to General Gaw to act. If it has not, or will not, then you will leave General Gaw without me."
"You will not be safe with the Conclave," Doc said.
"Are you under the impression that I will tolerate being among the Oban if you refuse me?" I said. "I keep telling you this. I am not asking for this. I am requiring it. If the Oban will not do this, they lose me."
"That would be very hard for some of us to accept," Doc said. "We had already lost you for a year, Zoe, when the Colonial Union hid your colony."
"Then what will you do?" I asked. "Drag me back onto the ship? Hold me captive? Record me against my will? I don't imagine that will be very entertaining. I know what I am to the Oban, Counselor. I know what uses you have all put me to. I don't think you will find me very useful after you refuse me."
"I understand you," Doc said. "And now I must send this message. Zoe, it is an honor to meet you. Please excuse me."
I nodded. Doc left. "Please close the door," I said to Hickory, who was the closest to it. It did. "Thank you," I said, and threw up all over my shoes. Dickory was over to me immediately and caught me before I could fall completely.
"You are ill," Hickory said.
"I'm fine," I said, and then threw up all over Dickory. "Oh, God, Dickory," I said. "I'm so sorry." Hickory came over, took me from Dickory, and guided me toward the strange plumbing. It turned on a tap, and water came bubbling out. "What is that?" I asked.
"It is a sink," Hickory said.
"You're sure?" I asked. Hickory nodded. I leaned over and washed my face and rinsed my mouth out.